Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. Welcome to another episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out why I'm still single, even though you could throw all of my makeup off a cliff and then push me off the cliff and I would climb back up and say, excuse me, I love you. My guest today is an Oscar-nominated actress. You know her from Precious, Tower Heist, Drunk History, BoJack Horseman, Difficult People, American Horror Story, Empire. It's Gabby Sidibe! Boop-ba-da-boo!
Hello. Hello.
That's usually how people respond to it. They're like, that was so much. Why would you do all that? It's because I'm extra.
So extra. Also, I'm sitting with the Emmy nominated host of Nailed It. Yay! Congrats.
Gabby, thank you so much. It's so insane. I cannot believe it. Before we start, I just want to say the amount of times I've been mistaken for you is so funny. Mm-hmm. I once was at Fox and at the gate, I gave my ID, which says my name on it. And the guard looked at it and he went, oh my God. And I was like, yes. He was like, I loved you in Precious. The depth of your performance. And
oh,
I was like,
well.
But I need you to look at the name. The name's Donna. It's not the same. But want to know what I said? I said, thank you.
You know what? I'm glad that you did. Okay. I'm glad that you did. Because honestly, your performance in Precious was a tour de force. You should have won.
I should have won.
And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I get mistaken for you too, if that helps.
Really?
Yeah, I've been mistaken for you a few times. Yeah.
That's crazy to me because you've had a better career than me.
I mean, like, it was when you were on Girl Code. Like, this guy in the airport for sure. This white dude was like, Miss, you're on Girl Code, right? And I was like, no, not me. Another fat black woman, actually. Like, there's a lot of us, so.
I mean, but, like, if you think about it in comparison to, like, thin brown-haired white women, there isn't. There's like a solid 10 of us in our age range who work. And
the amount of white ladies with brown hair. There's, I would say, approximately 17,000 of them, and people can get their names straight. So I don't get it.
Yeah, they really can get them straight, which is stupid, and I hate it. But you know what? Also, I do kind of think that we might look alike a bit. Not enough to be mistaken, but...
Yes. So, Gabby, where do you live? Do you live in L.A. or do you live in New York?
I live in L.A. I'm from New York, but moved to L.A. a few years ago.
Oh, okay. Where in New York? Are you from the city?
Mm-hmm. I was born in Brooklyn and raised in Harlem.
Oh, okay. I lived in Harlem for a little bit, and... I miss it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Harlem so much. I like moved there when I was like 9 or 10 and I loved it. I love Brooklyn a lot too. I have a weird thing. Like whenever I'm done with something, I super need to divorce it. Ah. So by the end of my like sort of time in New York, I like kind of hated it, but now I'm back to loving it. And I miss my city so much. I wish I could go there so badly.
Same. And I think the reason why I miss it so much is specifically right now, I can't go. I can't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I would be in New York every couple of months. So I would see like my friends in New York every couple months. And now it's just like the Zooms and the FaceTimes aren't cutting it anymore. It's almost like stupid.
Yeah. Like my mom. So like my all of my family, my immediate family is in New York. Mm-hmm. And I used to go in every other month to like do a day with my mom where we would get like our hair done and nails done and stuff like that. And I would take her to dinner. I also would take her to see a play, to see a musical and stuff. And I haven't been able to do that since January. And that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. If only our dumb president could figure some shit out.
Yeah, honestly, I can't even 100% blame Trump because we're also the only country that believes it's a hoax.
No, no, no.
Other countries?
Berlin. In Berlin today, I believe, there was a march to say that this is the end of Corona, even though I think today was the highest number of deaths. I think what's happening is Corona is not tangible and people love to see something to believe it. So they're just like this thing floating in the sky. How can I believe it? You know,
it doesn't even help if they see their like family members die or anything like that, because like I really think that people are like, well, it's not going to happen to me. There's like almost an invincibility factor to it. Like not me, never me. And then now you're dead.
And then we've got a bunch of people being like, young people don't get it. Kids don't get it. And it's like, yeah, but they're carriers.
Also, a 9-year-old black girl died in Florida. The youngest person in the entire state died of coronavirus less than 2 weeks ago. Yes, kids can get it. And kids are also dying from it.
I gotta say, Florida has been the worst at handling this.
Yeah, not great. I was with you on whether or not black people could get it at first. I was so disappointed. I said, hold on. I said, wait a minute. You telling me that black folks... But you're saying we're getting it worse than everybody else?
Uh-huh.
No. I see. I just feel like racism fixed this. And like I kind of feel like... Mm-hmm. Reparations should be not getting corona, but it ain't.
Yep. That would have been a nice universe gift giving to us. What have you, so I assume you've been inside. What have you been doing the past the time? I know that's a very boring question, but you know.
So I'm currently in my second phase of quarantine. Mm-hmm. So when it first happened, I was shooting Empire in Chicago, and where I lived for the last 6 years working. And it was literally our last season. We had 2 more episodes of the entire series to shoot when they shut everything down. So, but at first they were like, we don't know what's going to happen. We're just going to shut down for a bit and we'll be back in a bit to film this. Meanwhile, I have to like move out of my apartment and back into like LA. Mm-hmm. It just never came back. Like it just was awful. And I had too much stuff. And then I found out that cats can get corona. And I have a cat and he is the most handsome cat in the world, but isn't great at putting on a mask.
Sure.
And so I realized that I had to drive from Chicago to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. 31 hours of driving 3 days. And it truly does feel like a second phase of it, which is nice. Mm-hmm. Because in Chicago, I couldn't like go outside because people, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and now I could like walk outside and there's not so many people around and I can be in the backyard. So it's nice. So mostly, so what have, to answer your question, what have I been doing? At first, I pretended that I was going to get really, really, really into, yoga and meditating. So I did that for 6 days. Uh-huh. And then I started cooking. I started learning to cook and I pretty much just sit around watching 90 Day Fiancé. Yes.
I love 90 Day Fiancé. Are you all caught up on Happily Ever After?
Very much so caught up. Yes, very much so. So like I, at the beginning of the quarantine, my boyfriend had never even heard of 90 Day Fiancé. Mm-hmm. I got him into it. He watches every iteration of it. We're super into it. We got each other cameos of like, he got me a Big Ed cameo for our anniversary and I got him a Darcy one.
Darcy's amazing. Darcy's hammered in every cameo. She's so drunk in these. It's like she's like just smashing a bottle of wine. She's like, "Got no cameo, you just really, you'll
with
pick
the headband
yourself
and
up.
The hair poking yes, out." Yes, it's incredible.
Darcy, I cannot wait for her show.
She and Stacey deserve, and it's going to be bananas. Do. Did you ever see the YouTube of their first show?
Of course, they had the pilot. Yes, where Darcy's married to Frank, and Frank is a rapper.
I love 90 Days so much. It is the one thing keeping me alive.
Do you know what's going on with Paul and Carini right now?
She's pregnant for a second time.
Yes,
isn't she?
And she called the cops on Paul and ran away from him.
She ran away from Paul for once.
Yes. Interesting. And then Paul was in the hospital and said he tested positive for an STD, but he hasn't cheated on Carini.
How did you get it?
I don't know the stories. It's currently unfolding.
I cannot. Okay, so I just found out that Nicole of Nicole and Azin left her baby in America and went to move to Morocco. Yep. They still ain't married. They still ain't never opened that store or gym or whatever the hell it was supposed to be. And they're like, she hasn't seen her kid in so long. And I'm like, for Azin?
But here's the flip side. Okay. Some people think she's not with Azin, that she's actually at home and posting old pictures because people have been zooming in the backgrounds of her pictures being like, I think this is in your house. These people are the messiest people, I think. I love them.
No, because like Nicole's not even on the show anymore, but I would love her back.
I would also love her back and I would love to see little May. I love May. May's and then her daddy the keeps getting arrested for crack.
May's dad?
No, Nicole's dad.
Nicole's dad? Mm-hmm. For crack? Mm-hmm. This the man that she wanted to pay for Azin's ability to come to New York, to America?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't pay because he needed the crack.
Hold on. The thing about crack is, and like, don't ask me how I know, but I know, crack is cheap. Like, it's not even that expensive.
You know, because so, Whitney told you, crack is cheap.
She told everybody. That's crack too cheap for me.
Oh, Whitney, I miss her.
Yeah, me too.
Her documentary, have you ever seen it?
I saw both of them, because I feel like two came in around the same time, but
I liked it. I just didn't want to know that much about, I wanted to know more about, like, the singing. I was like, tell me how she, like, you know, got the songs and chose her songs. I was like, I don't want to know about her personal life. The woman's dead. She can't, you know, rebuttal what y'all are saying about her.
That's true. I mean, it was, but that also is why they did the documentary.
Can I just leave her alone? Like, we all know that she and Robin were more than just friends.
Yeah. Just and we know that she had alone. A lot of pain. Yes. And we know that, like, you know, her family life was what it was. And, I get it. It's just a sad, it's a really, really sad story, especially for how much healing, like, her voice brought to people that she could never find that same healing. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really, really sad story. I get weird about documentaries about people once they're gone. And some people that are just really, really private, but are still here. Like, I'm just like, no, I don't know. You don't want me to know this, but you're going to tell me. I'll let you keep it. I get really nervous. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's a little, it's invasive.
Yeah.
We will get to dating, but
all right.
I do want to know, as a fat Black woman in Hollywood who sounds, you sound like me, and I've had issues with the way my voice sounds at auditions and stuff. Did you run into that problem or no? Because your first job, you were nominated for an Oscar. So like for someone to be like, that's not right, is like, go fuck yourself. I was nominated for the highest fucking honor. So did you run into any issues?
Yeah, I do. I do. Because like my voice, yes. The thing about our voices is that it's, and I got in trouble for saying this once, but it just is what it is. And I'm grown. You can't put me in trouble. But it's not what people think the typical Black girl should sound like. Especially I'm dead ass from Bed-Stuy and grew up in Harlem. And this is still my voice because my father has a French accent because he's Senegalese. My mother has a Southern accent. Mm-hmm. And I have an accent that I saw on TV. And that's just is what it is. But my whole life, I was made fun of. Like in junior high, people, like my friends used to be like, you sound like you was adopted by white people. And I mean, so like, because they were making fun of my voice, I figured out a way to make fun of their voice. And it's like, and so that's just sort of when I went into audition for Precious, I put on the accent that, and to be fair, it's not necessarily foreign to me. I do speak like that. I speak the way I speak whenever it hits. Like this is all
code switching.
Yeah, I code switch quite a bit. And so I just code switch to that voice. But even on set, and like when the director met me, he was like, wait, this is your real voice? Like, this is what you really are? And then while we were shooting, he would make me deepen my voice deeper, always guttural. Mm-hmm. Because my natural voice is a little high. And so, and even now, yeah, I do, every now and then I'm working with a director and they're like, can you just, you know, they like move their neck and their finger just because they don't want to say Black girl, be more Black girl. And the word they do come up with is sassy.
Sassy.
Can you just get a little more sassy? And I know what that is. Mm-hmm. I know what you mean by that. And no. Because I also like, it's erasure. Like this is, I'm a Black girl.
Yes.
I'm Black as shit. I'm super Black. I'm so Black. I'm African. I'm Black. This is also my voice. And to tell me that I'm not because of my voice, or to tell me that I'm not Black because I don't eat watermelon or whatever the fuck it is. Like that's stupid.
You don't eat watermelon?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Honestly, I am shooketh. I am flawed. I don't like it. I cannot believe I love watermelon.
I don't. I just like it. It, the way it breaks down in my mouth, and I'm like, it's a texture thing.
Oh, do you like fried chicken? Are other stereotypes?
Yes. I enjoy other Black stereotypes like fried chicken and freedom.
Grape soda.
Yes, I love those. Not a big fan of grape soda.
You don't like grape soda?
I like orange. I like orange and I like strawberry Fanta.
Okay. All right. I agree with you. It is erasure because I sound like this and that's what it is. I'm a Black person who sounds like this. My sister sounds like me. My mother.
My little sister sound like me too.
Yeah. My mother would code switch quite a bit because she was from Mississippi. Moved to Chicago, so it was kind of like a southerny, hot, like every Black person I feel like in Chicago kind of sounds like they're from the South. She would switch, and then we were in Jersey, so she would switch between sounding like, you know, a person straight up from Chicago and then a nice woman who is light-skinned and just, you know, a good Negro, you know, just a high yellow good
one
Negro.
One of the good ones, got it. The good ones.
And then my dad was from Barbados, moved to Chicago, and then in Jersey. So he, I think, was always listening. So he sounded like somebody who lived in Chicago was trying to sound like someone from Chicago with a little bit of island and then a little bit of Jersey. Because he would say some things where I would be like, what? And he'd be like, go for a walk. And you're like, you said walk. And he's like, what is it? I'm like, walk. And it's so it was just like, that's what I have now. I have like a weird hodgepodge of what I sound like. And, you know, if I talk to someone from Jersey, I tend to sound more Jersey. Or if I sound like, if I talk to my cousins, I sound more like someone from Chicago. So it's just like, yeah, you code switch. So
yeah,
don't, instead of saying like sassier, or I've literally heard, can you be blacker? Like, a woman literally said that to my face. It's like, well, tell me what kind of black you would like from me.
Let me see you do it, since you want me to perform blackness. Yes. Why don't you go ahead and perform blackness so I can see it?
Yes. Do you have, give me a line read on that.
Yeah. Give me your examples of blackness, please. Thank you.
But I'll tell you, some casting directors would be like, finally, permission. Can I say the N-word while I do that impression?
Fucking no.
Okay, yeah. Real quick, we have to take a break.
Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
quick. Okay, so Gabby, you have a boyfriend. How long have you guys been together?
It's been less than 2 years, but it's like 18 months.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like that you said 18 months because that's how people say the ages of like their toddlers up until I guess they get to 3. Maybe. No, I've never heard like 26 months. Yeah, like right up until 2. Yeah. Okay. So you're still like a toddler in your relationship. How did you guys meet?
Oh my God. It's the, so it's so stupid. On Raya, because I was shooting in Chicago for 10 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. And I just never date. I just didn't. And I tried so hard to date in Chicago. And I met this one guy who was a liar, like literally was bananas. He was out of his mind. And also he stolen his brother's identity, and his name is very particular. And so I was like, and this guy's a liar and this and that. I mentioned to my friend's boyfriend who's in finance. He was like, wait a minute, that last name. Oh, I know that guy. Is he in banking? He's like, yeah. I was like, yeah. He said he worked at this bank, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, let me look through my emails. And he found the name, but it was his brother's name. So he had stolen his brother's identity to present to me. But it was like, it's just like, so dating is a goddamn nightmare. So I don't do it. But
honestly, I am impressed. Nobody has ever lied about their identity to impress me. So, like, I think you're lucky.
This guy, I could write a book on this idiot because we went out, we were talking once, and I was talking about how, like, different trips that I've taken to Africa, and he was like, yeah, I want to go to Ireland one day, and I was like, black man, you ain't got no goals to go to Africa? And so, like, making fun of him, he's like, one day I'll go. And then the next day, he calls me, and he's like, I remembered that I actually did go to Africa. Uh-huh, yeah. And like, he sound like a liar, too. Like, he had no fronting at all. Like, that's... he was like, yeah, I went to South Africa, and I was 8, and I said, because I knew he was lying, I said, did you stay in a hotel or at a house? I gave him the option. I knew he was going to choose house, because he doesn't know any names of hotels, and I've been to South Africa, to the part where he said he was going. So, like, he's like, a house. And then he told me this wackadoo story about, like, how he, like, jumped off a boat because there were sharks in the thing, and he was 8 years old. I was like, you're a goddamn liar. You don't have to do this. Like, whatever this is, I swear you don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So dating is like terrible. So I just sort of wrote it off, and I was a little too busy for it anyway, but I promise.
Can I ask a question about the liar? You don't have to answer this, but was the dick good?
Oh, I never fucked that guy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He honestly, like, he really, really showed up in who he was very, very early. Like, we never got, like, never a kiss or anything. I also get very weird. I don't love being touched. In general, I don't love being touched by strangers, and I have to, like, I need some time because I'm a bit of an empath, and people tend to leave prints on me. And so, like, I kind of tend to move a little slower in that space. And I saw him like 2 times, and each time he like had some wild cockamamie lie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I'm going to just be cool on you. Like, and that's, yeah. I mean, he's a liar, so he's probably telling people he hit or whatever. He probably got me pregnant and I had him, or whatever. Like, whatever narrative he thought it was, but, like, never felt the dick at all.
Okay. You were saying you promised your therapist
that I would try to date and that I would go on Raya. And I had, like, a thing against Raya for such a long time because, like... Because, like, I was like, I can't be on, like, eHarmony and, like, all these other apps. Like, I can't do that. But there is Raya. And, like, and they're like, yeah, it's more secretive. I was like, yeah, but I know everybody on Raya. So I, like, know who's on Raya. So I feel like people know that I'm on Raya. And I don't want to. Like, I was already, like, failing in my fantasy of what Raya is. And I promised my therapist. And I got on. I thought it would take longer than it did.
and it just didn't. And I was on it. and my boyfriend was like, I don't know. I think I asked him why, because I was like, I don't know why I swiped on you. I don't know why. I have no idea. I don't remember. But he was like, yeah, I was just swiping on literally everybody. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. I was like, what was it about me that like made you swipe? Like, was it like my beautiful face? And he's like, I was swiping on everybody. Didn't even see you. Was surprised you swiped on me. So
that is so funny, because that's what people have told me. They're like, oh, men are pretty like not disconcerted, like they're just swiping to be swiping and yeah, seeing what's gonna stick and then see if they like what sticks. And I was like, okay, way to make a girl feel so special.
Yeah, it's yeah. Also, like, I had a problem with Raya too. Mm-hmm. Because Raya is so very white.
And it is, like, yes. Yes.
And you're bi-ish or something. I'm sorry. I should not identify you.
Oh, no. I just identify as slutty. I just refuse to say no to anybody.
But so you're open to your accounts are open to both men and yes, females. So mine is just male, which is so much harder for a black woman. Mm-hmm. So all of my pool is so much smaller, and my pool was mostly white. And I was mm-hmm. like, where the brothers at? And mm-hmm. I have another friend who's on it, and she's like half black and like an Asian, and is like beautiful, like long hair, the skin that these dudes like, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no black man. And she's like, oh no, look at mine. It was like fucking Marcy Projects on her shit.
Really?
Because that's, yes, because all the black men, they don't want me. Oh, imagine if I stressed myself out about that. But it's preference, and she is preferred.
That is so wild. I mean, I guess that makes sense. I never see black people on Raya, men, women, trans, non-binary. Like, I don't see any black people on my Raya, to the point where I don't go on Raya anymore. I still pay for it. I think I pay my $30 a month or something like that.
I pay for it still too. Been in this relationship for 8 days. I'm not swiping on men. Like, I'm literally not looking. I keep it so that I can get the friend code to give to my friends that are still single.
Oh, look, that's
the
only reason.
Well, I'm a good person.
She's a giving diva. Come on now. Mm-hmm, she's so mm-hmm. nice.
Mm-hmm. That's why I keep it.
Do you remember your first date?
With my boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, one, he kept like hitting on me and was like, oh, you know, if you ever want to talk, here's my number. And I would like let that go over my head and be like, so yeah, my cat's here, so bye, or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. and then he kept like saying stuff like, you ever want to hang out, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then one day we were texting about something, or we were in the app. Like, he didn't even get my phone number until after our second date.
Damn. Damn, we are the opposite. If a man looks at me on the app and I feel it, I'm like, ooh, I better message him and tell him that I will literally suck his dick until tomorrow. Like,
I'm starting to think that, but like, honestly, I'm starting to think that don't work. See, okay, another thing that I did. Mm-hmm. Yes, I promised my therapist that I was going to try and date, but also my New Year's resolution was to be meaner to men. I don't know why. I have no idea. I'm such a nice girl. Usually they love bitches. They love bitches, and I don't get it. So I was pretty mean to him at first. Mm-hmm. Pretty mean. And even he's like, yeah, if you were nice, I probably wouldn't have been in. Like, I would have been like,
this,
what's her problem?
So insane.
It's so
it
stupid.
Feels so counterintuitive to be like, I'm gonna be mean to this man that I like really desperately want. But yeah, then again, I guess you didn't want it because you were only fulfilling an obligation to start dating.
Kind of. And honestly, to keep it 100% with you, I was actually trying to slide into my second hoe phase. See, I had my original hoe phase in my early 20s. And I thought, now's the time for another. Because, like, the other thing is, like, I was, like, celibate for forever, forever. Not even because I want it to be, but just like really, really, really terrible at dating, super bad at it. Like, it's bad. I'm really, really bad at it. And so I just was like, actually, I'm just going to be meaner. I'm not going to have any hope in this. I'm not going to be like, oh, this is the boyfriend. I'm not going to do any of that shit. And it just happened so easily and so naturally. I'm not mean to my boyfriend anymore. Also, this is the kind of relationship that was like even my therapist was like, if you ignore this, you ignoring God. Like, my therapist said that. Like, my therapist was like, this is obviously God. And so, and it is like, it's the most, it is 100% a relationship that I did not think I was capable of ever having.
I love that.
It is. It's incredible. It's so stupid. I actually trust him. And I do. I think, look, the bar for men is buried in the ground.
Yeah, I don't know where I've heard it from. And I know I've said it on the podcast before, but truly, the bar is so low for men. It's literally the ground.
Yeah. And he's just, it's so weird. He's not like, it's not, it's so, it's crazy. I just feel what it is. I feel safe there. It's kind of hard to explain, but the short way of saying it is that I didn't grow up feeling safe. Like, I never felt safe, not because my neighborhood was rough or whatever, because I was always told I was too dark, too fat, too this, too that. And so I never felt safe in my body, safe in any space, safe with friends. Because, like, even my friends were like, yeah, I only became friends with you because I felt sorry or whatever the fuck that is. And so, but sitting with him, I feel safe. Like, I really feel like, oh, this is not going to hurt me at all. Like, he's not going to hurt me. And it's so stupid how I had to sort of unlearn, like, all of these different things that I thought about myself, this wall I built around myself. And I had to sort of, like, I wanted to. I didn't have to. I just wanted to let him in. And it's the greatest relationship I've ever had. It's also the only relationship. I mean, my last boyfriend was absolutely a gay dude. So, like, it was 100%. This guy's not. He's not.
Wait, how long did you date this gay man for?
3 years.
3 years?
It was, the thing is, okay. So, like, it's so hard to explain because I felt like...
Well, you're gonna have to. I need to hear about this.
All right, let me dig in. Okay, so at some point, this is, like, literally at the very beginning of me becoming... an actor, but like kind of a recognizable actor, because like I had shot, like, Precious was my first film ever. And so I was not an actress before it. So I shot that one film and then basically waited like a year and a half for it to come out. And while I was waiting, I worked at a like charity, and at the, then there was like a bank. And so like this guy worked there. And he started, like, hitting on me or whatever. And I was like, okay, I guess. Because it felt like everything else in my life was good. And that, like, oh, okay, then this should be good, too. Then there should be some romantic thing that's happening. So then all of the fireworks in my life could be going off at the same time.
Yep, I get that.
Yeah. And I was like... And he was so, like, gaslighting wasn't even a term then. But this mother, like, we never ever had sex.
For 3 years?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for three. Because he kept moving the goalposts. Like, I'd be like, hey. And also, like, I'm still so, like, young when it comes to relationships and stuff like that. Like, I used to be like, I have the sexuality of a carrot. Of an 11-year-old. I'm so far behind. And so, it took me a long time to be like, hey, how come we, like, never have sex? And then he was like, well, you know, if your bedspread was white, then I would understand. And then, you know, that, because I just get weird about dirt and stuff. And so, like, if it were white, then I was like, I can fix that. I have money.
When the check cleared, I can get to Target.
I can get that. Here's my card. Give me my white sheets so I can get the bucket. So then I changed my bed and everything. And then he'd be like, see, this one time I got bed bugs and like they could be lurking and I just feel like I'm really scared to have, you know. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I like did everything to make sure that I didn't, I guess, like a fucking idiot. And then he was like, I just really feel like I need to trust you more because I feel, because my heart is really open and I'm emotional and stuff and you could really hurt me because like you be hanging out with actors and shit. And like like getting some bullshit. And I was like, all right. And but like what I did was I looked at me in the mirror and said, you gotta let him trust you. You gotta be better. You gotta be a better person so that he knows that you won't hurt him. And then I did that. And then and at this point we're like a year and a half, 2 years in.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like, well, before I started dating you, I had an epiphany and God spoke to me and God told me that I need to stop doing everything I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so since then, I haven't had sex at all. And I feel like that was God preparing me for you. Like, treat this one differently. Like,
Gabby, this is legit nuts. For 3 years, this man told you to change your bed spread, get rid of the bed bugs that didn't exist, and that God told him not to.
This is exactly why you got to start being mean to men. Yes. Fuck them. Fuck them. What? Are you serious? And the whole time, so like after I broke up with him, and like to be fair, we were off and on for like 3 years. We were 1 year solid, and then I was like, I'm actually done here. Mm-hmm. Like super done here. He was like weird. He had a lot of weird stuff. He had like a lot of weird stuff going on with him that I just kept being like, I guess I'll be nice about it. He'd be like weirdly jealous of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like one time he went to a premiere because he wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And like, and again, like he worked at like a building. Mm-hmm. He didn't do what I do. Like, I just mean, not that he worked, like, he had a building. He worked in a building. That's not, it's just that he didn't.
No,
he
I'm going to use that.
Industry.
I'm truly stealing that to describe anybody who's not an actor. Oh, no, they don't act. They work in a building.
But so he'd be working at the building. Mm-hmm. And I took him to. And like this whole thing, it was like going to the Hamptons, getting a car to go to the whole thing, just because he wanted to go. And then once we get there, like there was a director I'd worked with in the car ahead of us. So when we got out, like he came over and like kissed me and stuff like that, mm-hmm. was talking to me. And then there's the row of like the step and repeat that I have to do because I said I'd come to this event because mm-hmm. you wanted to go. So I have to do that, blah, blah, blah. And at the same time, I'm also, because I'm gaslighted to believe that I'm the trouble in his life and I have to prove to him that I'm good mm-hmm. for him. At the same time, literally fielding questions and taking pictures and being like, do you need a drink, baby? Boo, you want some crack? I can get you. I will ask them to get you some nuts. Like, this is at the same time. And then at some point, I look over to him, and he's got the nastiest glare on mm-hmm. his face looking at me. And, like, but I'm also at work. I'm embarrassed. So, like, mm-hmm. I pull him aside and go, what is wrong? Like, why are you, what's going on? And he's like, I feel like, you're a wedding dress, and I'm the train of the wedding dress.
Oh, my
God. I should have known the fuck then, right? Yeah, I should have known.
Yeah, you should have known he was gay. No straight man knows what parts of a dress.
Exactly. I was like, what does that mean? He's like, no, but he's like, the show is the dress and the train gets all dusty and stuff and nobody sees it. And it's dirty.
Nobody gives
like
a shit about him.
Yeah. And I was like, fam, I work here and you don't. Uh-huh. Like, you don't, like, you, I was like, when I go to your job, nobody asks me to, I don't know, work in a building or
yeah,
be in
when you walk to the building,
do.
You're not like, excuse me, I'm in the building. Everybody must pay attention to, but honestly, people would have paid attention to you in the building because you have notoriety.
Well, yeah. But also, he was like, the other stupid thing, he was like, I just like my women to be girlier, like, you know, wear dresses and makeup and stuff. But he said this to me while I was wearing heels, makeup, and a dress. Mm. And I was like, also, I'm super girly. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, dumbly, I'm embarrassingly girly. And so, he was so mean. And eventually, I ended it. Oh my God, the story. Oh, so it's bad. So, he never got drunk. He would never have fun with me. He was never, never fun. Mm-hmm. But he used to be fun before me. Cool. Got it.
Wait, so he said that to you out loud?
Yeah. Like,
this man is a literal demon.
He's a sociopath.
My God.
My family and friends, like, wanted to line up to whoop his ass. Yes. Because he was that bad. But, like, so he would not go to parties, not drink, not anything like that. And he also would never spend the night at my house. I lived alone. Uh-huh. He lived alone. Never let me spend the night. Never. So the one time he's like, I have to go to this work event. One of my coworkers is having a going away party, so I need to go. I'm gonna come over after. He comes over after, drunk. It's midnight. Mm-hmm. He passes out. It's the first time he's ever sleeping over at my house, but he's on the couch, passed out, drunk. Again, he'll never drink with me. I go to bed. I wake up maybe an hour later. He's gone. No, mm-hmm. no, nothing, no call. Like, the next day, didn't text me, nothing. And so I was like, well, I'm done here. Mm-hmm. And then eventually he started calling me again, and he, like, lulled me back into this relationship somehow, but I didn't see him for like a month. And he'd be like, I just really miss you. I miss you. I'm like, well, you live 20 minutes away. Like, well, uh-huh. I'll come over. You can see come over me here, whenever. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, nah, I just need some time. No, my house is dirty, blah, 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 yada, yada, this and that. And then, like, a month after that, he was like, all right, I got to tell you something. And I was like, what? He's like, okay, so I moved to, he moved to some other place, like Arkansas or something. I moved to Arkansas 2 months ago.
I dated a man who did that too.
The going away party was his.
That's wild. That is wild. He didn't do that to me, but he texted. I was like, where have you been? And he was like, I moved to North Carolina. And I was like, say what? It was literally
crazy.
Like,
in the middle of your relationship like that?
Kind of. We were on and off. Oh my God. I think for 3 years. Oh my God, is this the same person? Maybe it was 2 years. No, I think it was like three. But we were like on and off. We were on. And while we were on towards the end, he hadn't texted me in a while. We like agree that we were like officially dating. And then I texted him. I was like, what is happening? You're not calling. I haven't heard from you. He was like, oh, I started dating somebody else and I moved in with them. And I was like, whoa. Say what? And then they broke up. We started sleeping together again. And then I didn't hear from him. And then I was like, where are you? And he was like, moved to North Carolina and I'm taking online classes. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, obviously this is done. And then he moved back to LA and then texted me to be like, hey, I need a couch to sleep on. And I was like, no, I'm done.
Never.
And that's
never.
I was done with him. But like, that is so wild to say it's a coworker's going away party. It's his fucking going mm-hmm. away party. Passed out on your couch. Then moved to Arkansas.
And on top of that, like, he bought a house, bought a car, did all these things, and also bought a house with his brother. I kept being like, it's weird that you and your brother don't even look alike. Like, y'all don't have this, like, y'all don't even look alike. Like, even if y'all had the same daddy or just the same mama, y'all would look alike, but y'all don't look alike. And then, all of a sudden, like, he was like, yeah, we did this and we blah, blah, blah. But he was still gaslighting me, talking about some, you know, I want you to come by for Christmas. Like, I want to get you up here. And, like, maybe one day, you know, we get married and you could be like, maybe you'll quit the business and become like a real housewife of Arkansas. Dead ass. He asked me to do that.
That is so wild. I can't even like get into the logistics of how his brain thought this was okay.
Yeah, I honestly think it was like the 3 previous years of me believing certain things, just me being mm-hmm. like, although at some point I said it, but like also he like, so the thing getting to like him being gay, I'm not just being like, he dumped me, so he's gay. Like that's no, he stole 4 pairs of heels from me. It was the way he would act whenever somebody was like, whenever I was like in a dress and like at an event, he would mm-hmm. be so mean and so like weirdly jealous. And then, and also, moved in with his quote, I'm using air quotes, moved mm-hmm. in with his brother. And then also he had a friend that I knew was gay, but he mm-hmm. would lie to me and tell me he wasn't. Oh. And I'm like, he's gay. And then he'd be like weird about it. And then once, so like after we broke up, so like after the Arkansas stuff, like when I'm done, I'm super done. Mm-hmm. So block number, everything, nothing. There's no more coming back. There's nothing. You're in a different state. That's actually better for me. Mm-hmm. If you're over there, I can truly, truly stop hurting. But I snoop and I went back in the friends, that I knew was gay, I went in his Facebook to June. Now, June in New York
June is Pride Month.
Yes, mm-hmm. it is. And so he wrote, the friend wrote, you know what? I'm a proud gay black man and I'm going to go out and live my life. And I was like, I knew that he was gay. Mm-hmm. But first comment was, guess who? My man. Mm-hmm. At that time. Talking about some, all right, so where we going, bitch? And then, and oh he's like, God. Yeah.
No.
That is wild.
He says something like, same thing we do every year. You coming to get me. I'm coming, blah, 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 yada, yada. We going to go to Splash. And then he says, all right, I'm already drunk. This dude who would never drink with me, who told me he doesn't do it because God told him not to do it. It just was a mess. And honestly, he was an asshole. He was, he was obviously the devil. And I had too much hope and I was super naive. And I just kept thinking, well, this part needs to fit. It needs to. One day he will love me. But I would sit next to him on the couch in my house and I could feel his hate and contempt for me wafting off of him. You know when someone doesn't like you. Yes. But I'm in a relationship with this dude. Like, it was like, it has been like never making out. And I cannot confirm whether or not he's a dick.
Truly. That is so wild. The wildest thing to me is he was a fun person for everybody else. Splash used to be one of my favorite clubs to go to in New York.
Same. I loved it. And Duplex.
Oh, yes. I mean, I truly can't fathom anybody wanting, like, that's exhausting for him to come up with lies and to, like, actively hate you while he's with you. And I'm so sorry you had to go through that. That sucks, because then that affects you. Then it's like, who else is lying to me?
Yeah. And also, I know that relationship and what it was and his intentions in that relationship are directly connected to what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. I know that. And like, the weird thing is like, let me keep it real with you real quick. I'm gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I'm funny. Three, I'm dope as fuck. You should be so lucky.
Yep.
I'm dope though. Like, I really am. I'm just super fun. Yes. I'm a fun time. It's all good. It's strange that he never got past whatever his intentions were to actually see me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he never showed up for, like, he still to this day has he's never really experienced me because he did not want to, because his eyes were on whatever the prize was.
Like, but it's so funny, whatever the prize was, he could have had by being your, you know, you could have been his best Judy. Like, you could have been like the best of friends or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Like, he could have just been my friend. Like, it didn't have to be, like, he's the one that insisted on a relationship. That was him. Mm-hmm. It was, and I just was like, okay, cool. That's a puzzle piece that I can jam into place. Uh-huh. But also, this is going to sound like some Eat, Pray, Love shit. I am grateful to that relationship, not him because he's a piece of shit, but what I experienced in that relationship, because that's how I know now that that's not good, that always hurts, that a narcissist, which is what he was, will always hurt me, that there's no gold buried under there, and I needed to go through that to appreciate my current boyfriend, who is from a different universe entirely. I have no questions about whether, like, I sit next to him on the couch and I feel him loving me. It's so much. I'm so sure. I'm so confident in his feelings for me. It's not like some fetish. It's not like some other thing. Like, he's not trying to get off of me. Like, it's not like about getting some million. And like, what sucks, and he has to go through a lot of shit, because like, when people like found pictures of him and I, and like, we're like, oh, she's dating, like, all in the, like, you know, the gossips, like, sites and stuff like that, and people are like, he looks like a meth head, and he looks like, you know, he looks like he's just using her, and people are literally in my, black people who look exactly like me were in my DMs being like, girl, he's just using you, and that's it. And I'm like, what's the evidence that he's using me? What I look like, that's what it is.
Damn.
You see what I look like and you say, oh, but she's fat, oh, but she's this, oh, but she's that, so like, no one can possibly love her. And I'll tell you, I believe that about myself too. I did. I believe that. Because my entire life, again, the way I'd never felt safe, I was always told that I would never be loved until I lost weight. I would never be loved because of this reason. I would never be loved because of that. And he He loves me so much that he is a better person, which sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
which sounds crazy, but like I'm a better person. Learning and knowing how to let someone love me, and and learning that everyone was wrong, including me. They were all wrong, and that I do deserve and I can have. And on top of that, even if he goes away, like if something happens, he goes away, I still possess the ability to be loved because I always have.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck a skin color, fuck a size, fuck all that shit. Like, I am a person who deserves love and is capable of being loved. And we all are. And I believed that lie for so long.
It's crazy what lies we will believe. Like, my therapist always says, feelings aren't facts. And I feel like you and so many other people had this notion, and some still have this notion, that like life begins after you look a little different. Like, not even just with relationships. Like, I've had people reach out. I started a roller skating gang. I made like six of my good friends buy roller skates, and we skate on Tuesdays, and we're not good. We're all varying levels of moving forward and standing still. And some fat people have reached out and been like, where did you get your roller skates from? I didn't know fat people could roller skate. And I was like, I don't think there's a weight limit. And guess what? If a wheel falls off from me being too heavy, I'll just go buy some more wheels. Yeah. Like, you don't have to wait to be loved at a certain size. You don't have to wait to roller skate to be a certain size. It's like my mom. So like, my dad's from Barbados, and I always was like, when are we going to go? I want to go. My mom was like, we'll go when I can wear a bikini. And my mom was fat. And she died before she got down to the size that she thought was appropriate to be in the bikini. And I think that stayed with me in my brain, because I was like, well, no, I'm not going to wait to do a lot of things. And for most of my life, I've been, you know, pretty adventurous and doing all that sort of shit. But like, relationships are the only thing where like, I don't love myself the most. And I know that. I let dudes treat me any sort of way. And I dated a guy who like would make me breakfast like the next day. And I was like, my God, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever done. And then my therapist was like, but don't you think that's the base minimum? That if someone's house and they eat breakfast, that they make you breakfast too? And I was like, ah, fuck. Yeah. And then like the dude before that, I was like, he pays for my Ubers home immediately after we fuck. And she was like, okay, but like, again, isn't that like
gentlemanly thing to do?
The base thing that he could be doing. And then like the dude before that, I was like, he doesn't yell at me. And she's like, Nicole.
Like, he never choked me to death. So I'm gonna marry him.
Spit in my mouth. So, you know, I think this is So like, every dude I've like talk to her about, truly the thing she always says is, well, now we know that this niceness exists. So if that exists, more exists. So the next one will just be better than the last because your standards have now been raised. So I think sometimes people will be like, I think your standards are too high. And I'm like, they're not too high. I just, now in my old age, I'm 76 years old, respect myself too fucking much to have some dude disrespect me. And sometimes I get stigmatized. You know, it happens to the best of us. But like, I have to understand that like, a good dick needs to be attached to a good person.
Yeah.
And it's been a journey.
Yeah, that's a... Oof, that's a lot. I mean, certainly I've been stigmatized without getting the dick. So I could
thought of that dick gets me going.
Yeah. Although, really quickly, back to your mom not going to Barbados because she couldn't wear the bikini. Did she not know that she's Beyonce in Barbados? Because let me tell you, we're Beyonce.
Wait, really?
In Barbados.
Have never been.
That's crazy. I promise you. You're fucking Beyonce in Barbados. My God. I went with my friend. We did some shit. in Barbados. it was really fun. We had like a house and like I hired a chef. And then I had like for the first night there was the bartender. And the bartender, like when I tell you that I like also like if it's one night standy, so you could certainly be mean to him. So like if then he was like, I was like, no, just you know, I'm not fucking you. Certainly, I'm not sucking that. But you know,
but you can.
But yeah.
You can have a buffet down there.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, Barbados. And then he was like, "Can I spend the night?" And I was like, "No, honey, this is my vacation." No, and like the gate, like we couldn't work the gate. Like my best friend had like gone to bed, and but they taught her how to use the gate to get in and out, but I didn't know. And so like the gate wouldn't open and he was like, "Oh, just let me stay." And I was like, "You should climb over." Literally. He's literally climbing over the fucking gate. And my best friend texts me and she's like, "Him leaving?" And I wrote, "Girl, he's climbing over the gate." Then she came out to like open it. But I was like, "Yeah, you should go." Because the way, like, it sort of clicks in where you're like, "Oh shit, I'm a normal girl here." I'm like, I'm never a normal girl. I always stick out like a fucking sore thumb. But like, not that everybody in Barbados is, you know, like looks exactly like me. That's not true. But like, whatever it is that I look like is not a turnoff. Like whatever I look like is not, you know, is not a, what is it? A deal breaker. Yeah, it's not. We need to leave out. Like, I once talked to a matchmaker who, like, a black woman, who, like, I was like, "Hey, girl, you got any advice for me?" And she was like, "Stop trying to date black men and stop trying to date Americans." And then walked away. And I was like, that really hurt because I've always thought of having, I've always wanted dark chocolate babies that look like me, that look like my dad and my brother, and my, like, you know, and that's probably not gonna happen. And it's probably not. But I also tell my boyfriend that, look, if we have children, tell your DNA to stay over there when we're making the pigment.
Like right before he comes, he's just like, "Pigment, stay with me."
Exactly. You keep that part. Because there also is the stigma that like black women want to date white men so that their babies could be light skinned. It's like, no. No, no, no. Gross. Like, what a gross thing to do, to like choose your partner based on the what?
Yes.
It's weird.
I don't want children, so I'm never choosing a partner based on any sort of skin color. But I will say white men are the ones who approach me. Like, I don't get approached by black men, even though I would love to date a black man.
Same. It hurts my heart that we're somehow deal breakers for them, even though we look like their mamas.
Yes.
We look like the women that raised them. Like, and it's like, you're not doing it. Like, you're telling on yourself for that. Like, you look at me and you see Earth and you think, nope. You know, like, you're like, nah, not a status. You see everything but a status symbol.
Yep. And that's America.
Show is.
Well, Gabby, we've come to the end.
Oh, no. That was so fun.
Honestly, this has been truly lovely. I adore you. I think you're so funny and so wonderful. Do you have anything you want to promote? I know. Very hard question. Nobody's shooting anything. It's a fucking nightmare.
I did write a book.
Yes.
I wrote a book. It's called This Is Just My Face, Try Not to Stare. It's people seem to like it. Also, I'm reading your book, and like I'm at a vacation house right now, and I'm very fat and very brave in a bikini.
Hell yeah! I was gonna ask you. I was like, is that a bathing suit or is that a sports bra? What's happening? Tell me about it. I love it.
The pool is outside this door. I'm gonna jump in it.
Wait, do you get your braids wet?
Oh shit. God damn it.
So, well, like, some people do.
No, I swim. So, like, I work out 5 times a week, and one mm-hmm. day is dedicated to, like, water aerobics, and I have a big ass. I have a super big
swimming cap.
Yeah, swim cap that's gigantic, mm-hmm. and I forgot it. So I'm probably not going to dip in. Yeah, I'm going to just put it up. It's whatever. But no, I try not to get in wet because it's wet
on
forever.
On Instagram, I'll see women in wigs, in pools. And I'm like, that was a lot of money. Is it staying on your head wet? Are you blow drying? Are you washing? What is? I get confused.
Yeah, that makes me nervous. That whatever that process is, I'm scared mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. No, there's witchcraft in that.
Well, if you'll... Oh, wait. No, I forgot. I usually ask people this question. I can't believe I almost forgot. Okay, would you date me?
I would. Yeah, if I were into women, I would. I think you're so fun. I think that you're gorgeous. I think you have a great sense of style. You have great comic timing. I think that you have interesting stories, and I think that you're really smart. Yeah, I would date you.
Gabby, thank you so much.
I would not slap you in the face with my dick, though, so don't ever offer that. Don't offer that. Be meaner to these men, Nicole.
I think that's really good advice. I'm gonna take this. I'm not gonna be nice to men. I'm not gonna be like horrifically mean, but I'm not gonna tip my hat to them, if you will. I'm just gonna be a little bit more aloof and distant.
Yeah, like literally, my boyfriend did not get my phone number until after our second date, and even then I told him it was a burner number. He still thought he had to earn the real number.
So. Oh my God, this is great. This is great advice. And it's funny because I'm like, I don't want to play games, but I'm like, these fucking dudes, everybody wants to play games. Games are they're not just for children, they're for adults. And that's how you get to fuck. And that's how you get to fucking keep the fucking happening. Oh boy.
It's such a dumb thing. Don't cook for them. Don't really the list of things, like if whatever your instincts tells you to do, do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't All right. do it for a while. But eventually they'll earn it. But like they mm-hmm. can earn it.
Okay.
Instead of just earning it by way of having a dick. Fuck that. You know how many people out here got dicks?
Most of them. So many.
Most of them have dicks. Okay.
Well, that's it for this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me? If you like it, you can subscribe on iTunes. You can leave me a 5-star review. If you write me something nasty via my DMs or I don't know, just get it to me, I'll read it on the podcast. So this person said, let me lick between your baby toes like baby carrots. Yum 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 yum. Notes for when you read it on the podcast. Oh, I guess I'm supposed to read the yum yums. Okay. Yum 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 yum, I think. I don't know. Anyway, thank you very much. All right, that's it. Bye bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.